Dispiace. So welcome, my dear friends. Welcome to the Portuguese Parliament, Assembleia da República. Bom dia. I suppose you know bom dia is good morning. So
yes,
you are in the Portuguese House of Democracy, so for us it's a pleasure to have you here. We are going to speak in English, but some of us are going to speak Portuguese, but we have a translator which are going to help you to understand our Portuguese. It's a beautiful language. You will, the sound is quite interesting, so welcome. Welcome you, welcome dear ambassador. It's a pleasure to have you here and your team. It's really an honor to have you here. So once again, welcome. With me, I need to present our team, the Portuguese team. My colleague, the president of the Healthcare Committee, the Healthcare Commission, and we have deputies, members of the parliament from different parties, from the right wing to the left wing, and all of them, or the majority, really wants to ask you questions and introduce some comments. So we have colleagues, MPs from the Liberal Party, from Chega, also from the Social Democratic Party, EPP Party. It's all very specific from the Portuguese politics. We have also the Socialist Party and Livre, a left-wing party that is with us. Livre is over there. So later on, they are going to introduce themselves, asking questions. So please, welcome.
So first of all, we're very happy to be here. My name is Jesper Skalberg Karlsson. I'm the head of the delegation, but I'm not the chairman of the Committee on Health and Welfare in Sweden. That is a man named Christian, but he is with the other half of the committee who are right now in South Korea. This half of our committee chose to come to Portugal because we think... Oh, don't worry. Because we think we have some important things to learn from Portugal.
To interrupt you, our translator is
okay.
is saying that if you speak so fastly, it's going to be impossible to translate. But I really need to ask if
anyone needs
translation. It's not a problem. If no, you can speak English a little bit slowly. If something is... If we need to translate something, we can ask later on. So please.
So our half of the committee chose to come to Portugal because we think we have some important things to learn from healthcare here in Portugal. Also, we felt the need to examine a bit more regarding how people who abuse drugs are being treated here in Portugal, which is somewhat unique, and we think we have a lot to learn. Also, compared to South Korea, it was a shorter flight and better food and so on. So we have been on a little tour here, meeting with DGS, seeing the hospital IPO with Eva Frachau. We have been to Chalimont today, and so on and so forth. So it has been very, very fruitful, very valuable to come here. And now we're happy to meet with you. And even though the Swedish Parliament contains 8 parties, the same as yours, we are here from the Moderate Party, so the Swedish PSD, from the Left Party, which is a left party, and also the social, the Swedish Social Democrats, which would be PS here in Portugal. So we're very, very happy to be here to have this moment with you. And also a special thanks, because I understand that you are still on your summer break. So an extra thank you to have taken the time. Starting soon, yeah, the same as us.
Probably the best method would be we are going to raise some comments and questions, and later on you can ask us. It's important to share views and perspectives, and we are going to introduce each MP, taking into account its representation, not the representation of his party or she party. She parties here in the Portuguese Parliament. So our friend and colleague Sandra Pereira from PST will be the first one to introduce some comments and questions. So please, you have the floor. Então, he's going to speak in Portuguese and later on with the help of our translator. Okay.
Bom, antes de mais, os meus cumprimentos especiais aqui à Comissão do Parlamento da Suécia e muito bem-vindos ao Parlamento Português. Para nós é uma honra que possam estar aqui connosco a partilhar experiências.
So first of all, we want to warmly welcome you to the Portuguese Parliament, and for us, I must say, it's an honor to be able to share experiences with all of you.
Eu pertenço ao Partido Social Democrata e vou falar em nome do meu grupo parlamentar, e nós estamos absolutamente comprometidos em aprofundar estas relações com outros países e colher as melhores práticas que cada um pode ter, e também esperamos que colham daqui coisas boas que o nosso país tem para poderem levar para, para a Suécia.
So I belong to the parliamentary committee of my party, the Social Democratic Party, and one of our commitments is relationships with other countries. So we want other countries to come and share their best practices with us, and hoping also that you will take some good ideas and some good practices that we also develop here in Portugal with you.
Nós não sei exatamente qual é a metodologia que vamos seguir, mas estamos absolutamente disponíveis para quaisquer questões. Aqui, neste momento, eu por acaso pertenço a ambas as comissões que estão aqui representadas, quer à Comissão de Saúde, quer à Comissão de Trabalho. Faria só, estarei aqui a falar mais na perspectiva da Comissão de Trabalho, faria só aqui uma resenha breve daquilo que tem sido o nosso trabalho nos últimos tempos e os desafios que enfrentamos. Temos na mente, para já, uma questão que tem a ver com o sem-abrigo, que eu julgo que é um problema que perpassa vários países europeus, e neste momento estamos a adotar uma estratégia, havia uma estratégia nacional, e estamos a adotar uma estratégia município a município, uma estratégia mais local que possa debelar essa questão, que também não é igual de sítio para sítio. Portanto, temos diferentes níveis de intensidade nessa questão, consoante o local, como será também noutros países.
So, I'm not sure about the methodology we're going to follow. Myself, I belong to both committees, to the Health Committee and to the Labour Committee. Maybe I'll focus a bit more on the work we have done over the last few years in these regards. First of all, on the topic of homelessness. So it is one of our concerns, important concerns. We have a national strategy for dealing with homelessness, but also municipalities have and develop their own local strategies to tackle this issue, because we know it has differences, you know, from place to place, from municipality to municipality, so we need a local approach as well.
E haveria muitas mais questões que falar. Nós pertencemos, o meu partido suporta um governo que entrou em pouco a funções e tem efetivamente feito e mudado algum paradigma. Uma das preocupações que temos e que temos demonstrado isso é exatamente com as pessoas mais velhas, os pensionistas mais vulneráveis, e aí fizemos um aumento dos valores, complemento solidário para idosos, mas isto é um nome técnico, um valor a crescer à pensão de velhice, para as pessoas mais vulneráveis em situação de economicamente mais desfavorável. E também temos uma preocupação com as crianças, e fizemos aqui alterações recentes no âmbito de todos os meninos poderem aceder a uma creche em condições gratuitas, e portanto isso já acontecia, mas não acontecia assim no privado, e agora passou a haver aqui umas alterações, e portanto nós temos preocupações que vão desde as crianças até aos mais velhos. Estaremos disponíveis para quaisquer questões que nos queiram colocar em absoluto, mas daria assim esta resenha inicial. Muito obrigada.
So, of course, you might know that this government took office recently, so it is a recent government. There are many social concerns. I will just highlight a couple more of them. One of our main concerns is also with the elderly and the most vulnerable people in our country. So for the elderly, for instance, we have implemented the very complement for elder people in more disadvantaged situations. So it's like an extra benefit to their whatever benefits or pensions they're already receiving. And then we also have special concerns with our children, so to offer the best conditions for their full development, starting with kindergarten, you know, providing kindergartens free of charge for all children in our country. So, of course, there are many social topics to cover, but I would just like to highlight these main ones, and then we can see throughout the discussion if we need to deepen on other ones, other topics.
Okay, but thank you. But in order to introduce topics more related with healthcare, because, as you know, we have MPs here from different committees, labor and healthcare, from the same party, in order to introduce questions more focused or issues more focused with healthcare, please take the floor. Okay, Patrick.
Good morning and bom dia. Senhores deputados, hoje aqui presentes, antes de mais gostava de dar as boas-vindas à delegação da Suécia e é um gosto receber-vos nesta Casa da Democracia e senhora embaixadora. Em nome do PSD, da Comissão da Saúde, encontramos-nos sempre disponíveis para falar em nome do nosso país, em nome também deste Parlamento, mas em particular das políticas ligadas à saúde e ao Estado Social, como também ouvir as vossas boas experiências. Para nós e para o PSD, a saúde é um dos pilares fundamentais da nossa democracia.
So, first of all, we would like to warmly welcome you here to the House of Democracy in Portugal. It is a pleasure to host you all here and our honorable ambassador as well. So I belong to the Social Democratic Party. We have several policies in the field of social rights, but one of our main focuses, important focus, is health policies, the topic of health, because we consider health as one of the main pillars of democracy.
O nosso trabalho enquanto deputados na Assembleia da República, na Comissão da Saúde, procuramos acompanhar o trabalho do Executivo, do Governo, bem como ouvir diversas instituições da sociedade e, por consequência, também apresentar projetos de lei. Em Portugal, mais concretamente, existe um Serviço Nacional de Saúde, o SNS, que pretende ser um serviço de saúde acessível a todos os portugueses, na sua globalidade, dando resposta a todas as necessidades nesta área.
So, our work focuses on all our MPs and also we work with the government and with other institutions in society to carry out diagnoses and to propose draft laws to tackle these issues. In Portugal, we have the NHS, which on the basis of it is the provision of healthcare for all citizens universally.
Acontece que atualmente estão a existir alguns problemas na saúde e o governo português está empenhado em apresentar soluções para estes problemas. O governo entrou em funções, é importante dizer, há 5 meses, tendo existido eleições há pouco tempo em Portugal, tendo mudado de executivo, e em 60 dias apresentámos um plano de emergência para a saúde, tendo ontem mesmo a senhora ministra apresentado um balanço do mesmo.
So there are, of course, many problems in the health sector in Portugal. Our government is trying to find solutions for all of these issues. As you understood, this is a recent government, but just in 70 days, we were able to come up with an emergency plan for health, for healthcare, which was recently also offered or presented by our Minister for Health.
Yeah.
60 days, sorry.
Alguns dos
Obrigado.
Nossos principais objetivos são a redução das listas de espera, tendo deixado de haver doentes com cancro à espera de marcação para cirurgias acima do tempo médico aceitável, como também um outro objetivo é a retenção de médicos, jovens médicos em Portugal e no Serviço Nacional de Saúde, bem como a abertura de respostas assistentes e de cuidados do setor primário, no setor social e privado. O nosso objetivo no final do dia é oferecer o melhor cuidado de saúde para os nossos portugueses.
So this plan for tackling the issues in the health sector includes many goals. One of them is to decrease the waiting list, the time of on the waiting list of patients, namely those that have serious health issues, and also increasing the means provided to our National Health Service, and also the provision of primary care and healthcare in general. Basically, we want to improve healthcare provision for all Portuguese in our country.
Sabemos que a Suécia tem dos melhores sistemas de saúde no mundo. Estudos afirmam tal consideração e que oferta de excelentes serviços. O tratamento hospitalar e ambulatório, como também de medicamentos prescritos e cuidados médicos primários. Mas também sabemos que nem tudo é perfeito e atravessam algumas dificuldades, como a falta de médicos, grandes listas de espera para consultas e dificuldades à procura de médicos também de família. Conseguem partilhar connosco qual a vossa experiência no vosso dia-a-dia na tentativa de resolver estas dificuldades?
So we know that Sweden is one of the best countries in the world in terms of healthcare provision. We know you have outstanding services in terms of primary care, free medication, out-of-patient care in your hospitals. But we also know that not everything is perfect, that you also have shortage of means. You have also waiting lists, sometimes with large periods of people waiting. And you don't have family doctors for all citizens. So we would like if you could share with us how are you tackling these issues, maybe to help us also see how we can go about them.
Percebemos também que os serviços e que os preços que praticam são relacionados também e podem mudar consoante também a região onde a pessoa vive. Se conseguiam também explicar-nos como é que este método funciona. E para terminar, enquanto grupo parlamentar do PSD, estamos empenhados em acompanhar e apoiar também o Governo de Portugal, como também ouvir todos os portugueses nesta comissão à procura de melhores soluções. E termino também com um grande agradecimento da vossa presença, também ansiosa também pelo ouvir as vossas partilhas também, e que possam voltar a Portugal num outro momento também, nem que seja só pela comida e pelo sol. Muito obrigada.
I would also like to know about the pricing of healthcare, because we understood that you practice different pricing systems according to the region. And so how does that work and how is it possible to make it functional? You know, our party, the Social Democratic Party, PSD, we try to follow all the Portuguese, listen to the Portuguese. We also want to listen to your experiences. And we also try to listen to all the members of this committee, because our goal is to find the best solutions for all the Portuguese people. So I'd like to end off by thanking you very much. I'm looking forward to listening from you, and I would like to invite you to please come back to Portugal, even just for a break or for a visit. Mm-hmm. You're always welcome to our country.
But the member of the parliament have mentioned the food, the importance.
Yeah,
of
the food. Sorry.
So we need to underline that.
Even if just to taste our Portuguese cuisine.
Okay. So thank you. I will give the floor to my colleague, member of the Socialist Party and president of the Healthcare Committee. Please, Anna, you have the floor.
Welcome, dear ambassador, dear friends, welcome. And I excuse myself for not being with you yesterday during lunch, but I was paying attention to our healthcare ministry. She gave to the Portuguese population a situation of the emergency plan, which is a good thing when a new government come and say what are their choices, what are their ways how they want to solve problems. So, first of all, I want to say that our healthcare committee has different parties, but we have a very good work environment. And I have here all of them to agree with me. And despite of ideological differences, we can, and most of the times we agree when it concerns the big problems. Of course, we have big challenges, and the healthcare system is, fortunately, one of the main topics of our government. So despite not being the party of the government, we, of course, support this option. Health is one important domains of our government. And this government, from the beginning, said we will present a plan to solve the major problems. We have major problems, and they are connected with the aging of population, with a more demanding people. We are more demanding one in what concerns healthcare. We were talking in the healthcare committee. We have the privilege of having the former, bastonário da ordem.
Dean of the Medical Society.
Dean of the Medical of Science, the deputy, so we learn a lot with him. And we have, I think, this good environment, the fact that all of us have in mind solving the problems. Of course, we have ideological differences. How can we solve the aging of population? How should we put more money in prevention than in treatment? We have done a reorganization of the system of healthcare. And is this reorganization a good reorganization? How should we have proximity healthcare? We have the promise of having a doctor for each Portuguese. Is it a good idea? Is not this too demanding? And we have also the challenge of combining public service with the private service, with social service that also provide healthcare systems. How can we do this and not taking resources from the public service? So we don't have enough doctors, we don't have enough nurses, we don't have enough healthcare professionals. And I think this is a problem everywhere. So, and we have a more demanding population. How can we fit this? So despite of our ideological differences, I think all of us in the healthcare committee have a common goal. And it is a good thing that our government has a plan, tries to be transparent with what is going well, what is not going well, so we can discuss and share the difference that we have in order to achieve the what all of us want. Thank you.
Thank you. So moving to the right wing of our parliament, MP Marta Silva is going to speak in Portuguese, and we are going to have the helpful aid of our translator. Please, you have the floor.
Muito obrigada, Sr. Presidente. Bom dia a todos. Na pessoa da Sra. Excelentíssima Embaixadora, cumprimento todos os membros da Comissão e da Delegação. Sejam muito bem-vindos à Casa da Democracia de Portugal. E começaria esta intervenção fazendo um breve retrato deste pequeno país no âmbito da saúde, um pilar fundamental do bem-estar dos cidadãos e, principalmente, um direito social que os portugueses exigem.
So good morning, everyone. By greeting our honorable ambassador, I would like to greet all the members of this delegation. Please feel warmly welcome to the House of Democracy in Portugal. I would like to start off by providing a brief portrait of this small country within the scope of health, which is considered a fundamental pillar of citizens' well-being and, above all, a social right that all Portuguese people demand.
Estamos a viver enormes desafios e gostaria de destacar alguns. Portugal tem uma das populações mais envelhecidas da Europa. O aumento da esperança média de vida e a dependência associada trazem novos desafios. Os portugueses estão mais infelizes. Segundo o ranking da felicidade global, Portugal está em 55º lugar, 51 posições abaixo da Suécia, o quarto país mais feliz do mundo, e por esse motivo os nossos parabéns. Talvez por conexão a este facto, Portugal enfrenta também enormes desafios no que diz respeito à saúde mental dos seus cidadãos.
So we are going through huge challenges in the field of health. I will just try to highlight some of them. Portugal has one of the eldest populations in Europe, and the increased average life expectancy and the associated dependency also bring about new challenges. Portuguese are among the most unhappy in the world. Considering the global happiness ranking, Portugal ranks 55. This means 51 positions below Sweden, the fourth happiest country in the world. So congratulations for that. And maybe as a connection to this fact, Portugal also faces tremendous challenges in what concerns the mental health of its citizens.
É um dos países com a maior taxa de depressão do mundo. Os números são avassaladores. Cerca de 60% dos portugueses sentem sinais dessa doença. E o pior é que está a afetar, sobretudo, jovens. É preciso cuidar melhor dos jovens, que recorrem cada vez mais a comportamentos autolesivos, nomeadamente suicídio. E esta área não pode ser da exclusiva responsabilidade da saúde. Entre os grupos de risco para o suicídio estão as forças de segurança, médicos veterinários, os jovens e as pessoas com maiores dificuldades económicas. Por isso, tanto o Ministério da Administração Interna como o do Trabalho, Segurança Social, Educação e Ensino Superior devem ter algo a dizer.
Also, Portugal is one of the countries with the greatest depression rate in the world. The figures are absolutely overwhelming. About 60% of the Portuguese people feel signs of this type of disease at some point in their lives. And the worst is that it is impacting mostly the youth. So we have to take better care of our youth, who are more and more resorting to self-damaging behaviors, namely suicide. So, and this is a field that cannot be the exclusive responsibility of health. Other group risks for the prevention of suicide should include law enforcement, veterinary doctors, youth, and people with greater economic challenges. So this is why both the Ministry of Internal Affairs, the Ministry of labor and social security, the ministries of education and higher education, all should have a word to say.
Para além disso, o Serviço Nacional de Saúde está a passar por um grande período de grande dificuldade, não conseguindo dar resposta às necessidades dos cidadãos, nomeadamente nos cuidados de saúde primários, saúde mental e urgências. Um Serviço Nacional esgotado, muito por causa da falta de profissionais, a que se soma a pressão que a imigração está também a causar nos serviços públicos de saúde, mas também em outras áreas como a habitação e a educação. E aqui gostaria de salientar que atualmente mais de 1 milhão dos residentes em Portugal são imigrantes e quase 500 mil estão com processos pendentes. Um número que disparou nos últimos 4 anos sem que houvesse o devido ajustamento nos serviços públicos. Esta realidade traz também desafios acrescidos, também ao nível do controle de doenças infecciosas. Em 2022, os imigrantes representaram 50% dos novos casos de VIH e 30% dos novos casos de tuberculose e desconhecem-se os dados de 2023.
So besides, the National Health Service is going through a period of major difficulties. It is not being able to provide responses to the needs of our citizens, namely in terms of primary health care, mental health, and emergencies. So our National Health Service has hit the bottom. A lot of it has to do with lack of professionals, to which add the pressure coming from an immigration that is out of control, which is also causing pressure upon public service, the health public service, and which is also causing pressure in other fields like housing and education. We should highlight that presently more than 1 million of those living in Portugal are immigrants. Almost 500,000 of these have their cases still pending, the documentation cases still pending, a figure that has increased tremendously over the last 4 years without the appropriate adjustments in terms of public services. So this reality is bringing about added challenges also in terms of controlling infectious diseases. Like in 2022, immigrants represented 50% of the new cases of HIV and 30% of the new cases of TB. We don't yet have the figures for 2023.
Para finalizar, gostaria de deixar aqui apenas 3 questões. Tinha mais, mas não quero tomar muito mais tempo. Ora, sabendo que atualmente cerca de 20% da população sueca é composta por imigrantes, como é que a Suécia tem gerido a pressão migratória sobre o seu sistema de saúde? Quais são os mecanismos de colaboração entre diferentes ministérios na Suécia para abordar as questões de saúde que envolvem múltiplas áreas, nomeadamente na área da saúde mental e apoio social para os jovens em risco? E dada a semelhança que existe entre Portugal e a Suécia em termos de envelhecimento da população, como é que a Suécia tem enfrentado os desafios de oferecer cuidados de longo prazo para idosos? Muito obrigada.
So to end off, I could go on and on speaking about more issues in the health field, but I would like to end off with some questions that I would like to put before you. So knowing that presently about 20% of the Swedish population is migrants, and many of them. Require immediate health care, we would like to ask the following questions. How has Sweden managed the migration pressure that it is also feeling on its health system? This is one. The other one. Considering that social integration is critical for mental well-being, how is Sweden addressing the mental health of its migrants, especially those that are facing difficulties in terms of adaptation and integration? The third one, which are the collaboration mechanisms between the various ministries in Sweden in order to address issues of health that includes several fields like mental health, social support for youngsters at risk, and so on. Another one, considering the similarities between Portugal and Sweden in terms of an elder population, in terms of an aging population, how has Sweden faced the challenges related to the type of care it the type of long-term care it has to provide to its elders, and what policies have been implemented to support both the elderly as well as their caregivers?
Okay. Obrigado. Thank you. So let's move fastly to our Liberal Party, the Member of the Parliament, Mário Amorim Lopes. Please take the floor.
Thank you very much. I'd like to start by welcoming you all to Portugal. Skol. I hope your visit to Portugal is as insightful as my visits to Sweden were. I learned a lot, partied a lot as well, especially because I was there celebrating midsummers. So it was a great time to be in Sweden. So I hope you have as much fun as I did. The Liberal Party, by the way, just to position ourselves, our sister party in Sweden would be the Center Party. I think no one from the Center Party is here. But we could also relate to the Liberals and also to the Moderate Party somehow. Considering that we're discussing healthcare, which is something that our party in particular has been discussing a lot and thinking a lot about it, and actually we presented a major reform to the healthcare system. I think it's interesting because we have a lot of connection with your healthcare system. They're both BEV region in the sense that it's the state that finances the health system. Most of the providers are also public providers or secured by the state. And so we have some common ground here. However, contrary to what happens in Sweden, we are struggling with our health system. To give you some rough numbers, right now we have over 1,500,000 people without access to a family doctor, and being the family doctor, the gateway keeper to the health system, that actually jeopardizes the access to the health system. In some cases, it may take 1, 2, 3 years to get an operation, a surgery. So that's how things are right now. And also, the way we run the system is considerably different than the way you do it. To give you an idea, here in Portugal, everything is really centralized. A hospital that runs a budget of 500, 600 million euros budget needs to ask permission to the Minister of Health to hire a nurse or a doctor. While in Sweden, it's mostly municipalities that do that job, of course. They have maneuver, they have the autonomy to do that, to hire and get the personnel. And also, the way we actually run the country, for instance, 5%, only 5% of our fiscal revenues goes to local government, 5%, while in Sweden it's about 40%, if I'm not wrong. Right. So here we have a very centralized way. We are always we don't trust much our local government. But of course, if you're far away from the people and from the institutions, there's a big barrier. So my question here is, what lessons can we learn from you guys in the sense that the health system is similar? We have some common ground here. And of course, you also did some mistakes in the past, but you were able to fix them in the sense that you provide good healthcare, affordable. People don't have to pay for it, and it's free, and it's good healthcare. So my main question is, what lessons can we learn here from your experience? And thank you very much. And again, welcome to Portugal.
Thank you. Obrigado, Mário. So finally, for this first round, Isabel from Liv. In this case, on the left wing of our parliament, please take the floor.
Thank you very much. I welcome you here. It's a pleasure to have you here in our House of Democracy. My name is Isabel Mendes Lopes. I belong to LIVRE, which is a pro-European left-green party. And Well, several issues were already mentioned and they are very important, so I'll focus on another one that I would like to hear from you, which is related to addiction, especially on screen and social media and technologies in general, because this week we heard that your national health agency issued some recommendations to limit the screen time that children and teenagers should do daily. And so actually I have two questions. And one is regarding digital books and technologies in school. So Sweden was a pioneer in introducing technologies in schools. And the news that we heard is that you are redrawing and getting back to traditional paper books and more traditional methods. And so I would like to hear about that. And the other question is regarding cell phones also in schools, and not only in schools, but especially in schools, because that's one of the issues that we have been talking about in Portugal. There's not a national recommendation, and schools are free to decide if they are a cell phone free school or not. And so I would like to hear about both digital books and both cell phones in schools, but especially how have you been monitoring the data regarding those two issues? And how has this shown an impact both on learning methods but also on health and mental health of children and teenagers? And how has this data that I assume that you've been monitoring has been impacting the policies and your work in Parliament? And that's my question, and very nice to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you, Isabel. My colleague Anna really wants to raise a final question. Yes. So
thank you.
Dear President.
Thank you. Thank you. We in Portugal started to decentralize health to the to municipalities. So we entered this path recently. So that's why the budget in what concerns health, that which is centralized, is so low. So can you give us a brief note of your experience? Because for us it was very difficult and still very difficult to think about municipalities hiring nurses and so on. So this decentralization in education, in health, are a slow path that we started recently, so your experience can be good for us. Thank you.
Okay, so a lot of Portuguese speaking about different issues. Now it's your turn. Raise questions, comments, and of course, afterwards, I suppose some of us can also raise some question or some issue that we really want to point it out. But now it's your turn, Swedish
amazing. So I think I'll start us off. Maybe I'll make some broad and general comments, and then my colleagues can add to that later if in case I miss anything. First of all, it's important to note that the way we govern is somewhat different than in Portugal. So we have the municipal level, where there is taxation, we have the regional level, where there is taxation, and the national level, where there is also taxation. And healthcare is being carried out at the regional level. So us in the Committee on Health and Welfare, we are not in direct charge of every single hospital, but we are part of giving advice to the National Health Agency. We are part of writing legislation, and also, which has been the sort of main tool for the national government, is that we can add funding to the regions. And the regions are maintaining a high standard, a high level of healthcare. People who have, you know, come past the waiting room in Swedish healthcare are given excellent care. However, I think the main issue has been the waiting times, the waiting lists, the queues. And there have been some reforms regarding performance-based funding to those who can cut the waiting times. That has been not entirely successful. It has made some adjustments, but that's an ongoing project and an ongoing debate, to say the least. Also, the question from the Liberal Party. I think that one of the things we noticed here in Portugal is that, well, you don't have the regional level, which means that perhaps you can be more clear and direct. I think one of the issues in governing in Sweden is that it's not entirely clear in every moment who is deciding regarding healthcare, who is paying, who is responsible. Because, of course, the national government can do some, the regions can do some, but if things aren't working, who are you going to vote out? or what boss are you going to fire? So I think we have built an organization in Sweden that perhaps is hard to reform. We are looking into that. There are some parties that are very vocal about it. But I think we can all agree that if we were to build our healthcare system from the bottom up, from the start right now, we wouldn't build it the same way that we did. So I think transparency, being very clear about where responsibility lies is very important. Also, I think when we saw the numbers at the hospital, was it yesterday, 2 days ago, we noticed that a Portuguese OR conducts twice the number of operations per year as a Swedish one. So I think we have something to learn regarding efficiency from Portugal as well. Regarding migration, I think it's important to say that Swedish migration has been somewhat different than the Portuguese one. I think one third of your immigrants are from Brazil, so they already speak Portuguese, which I think is one major difference. Because becoming a part of Swedish society, becoming a part of Sweden is tough because we have all these different authorities, we have these complicated systems. So one of the first things and one of the most important things you have to do is learn Swedish. Otherwise, you will have a really hard time. And so I think regarding your migration, perhaps you're one step ahead because many of the people who come here already speak Portuguese. And regarding migration, it has been a huge and very infected debate. Is that fair to say? You think so? Oh, then we're in agreement. But one of the things that we were, you know, that had a broad support in the parliament was that we were to disperse people who migrate to Sweden, which means that not everyone is going to live in Stockholm or in the suburbs of Stockholm, but rather there is a quota to make sure that people who are migrating to Sweden are not all located in one spot, which I think has been somewhat successful. It's not perfect. No reform is, but I think that is something that has made it a little bit, at least a little bit easier, to integrate migrants into Swedish society. Regarding screens, we were early to adopt screens in schools, and it was probably the right idea. But I think a lot of the adaptation was just buying computers and putting them in the hands of kids. And that's not really how a school should work. So now we are reverting back, and there are some political debate regarding this. And the science is not 100% clear that all screens are bad or that all books are good. But there is definitely sort of a pendulum shifting back to books, but screens, coding, learning how to use the digital tools is of course still going to be a part of it, but we're not just gonna stick screens in the hands of kids. And regarding the new the news that came from the Swedish government and the National Health Agency. We are now launching, or at least providing, some guidelines to parents. Of course, parents are responsible for their kids, and it has been sought after to know about what amount of screen time is reasonable. So that is what has been presented at this time. So it's not really it's not a way of saying do this or you're a bad parent. There are no punishments involved, but there is at least a guideline from the National Health Agency. Does Karin want to add something?
Yeah.
I think you might want to.
Like this? Yeah, you can hear me. It's so much questions in the room. We could have a debate for 2 days or something, so I shall be very, very short. I'm from the...
We can do it in Sweden if you want.
Okay, you're welcome. I'm from the Left Party. It's a socialistic party in Sweden, and I will start with migration, because I don't think this is an issue in Sweden that you could say migration is causing so much problems in the healthcare. No. And for us, it's important that we have people coming into Sweden so that they can work, for instance, in the hospital, elderly care, and so on. So that is my point of view. And we can hear that you have a big... you're frustrated about the economy here in this country, and it's all about, for instance, the salaries. If you earn so little as a nurse or a doctor, of course you're looking for our countries. So that must be the main problem, I think, for you. But we also had a really tough time in Sweden. First, we have COVID, you know, the pandemic. You did a fantastic work with the vaccination here in Portugal. I'm very impressed by that. And then the war come, the Russians went into Ukraine, and then we had inflation. And it affects us too, because we had a crisis, economical crisis in Sweden as well. And the government running now, my friends to the right, they are also cutting down in the budget for the healthcare. But not, we don't have this crisis as you got here. And then also here, is that another question to you? And it's also about the private and the what do you call it, general running of health care, that you will increase the private sector. Maybe I misunderstood it. Maybe. But because for us, from the right side, and even for the most Swedes, equality is the best thing to build a health system. And if it's a gap between the very rich, or the one with insurance, and the other people, you will have big, big problems, I think. So, what will you do? Okay?
Thanks a lot for all of your comments. I would like to comment on the mental health issue. It's a very big issue also in Sweden, and a strategy is being planned, a completely new strategy that involves a lot of different areas in the society, and the government is going to put that forward, and we started that investigation, my party, when we were in charge. And I would say this strategy is for all citizens, so we don't really recognize what you said about migrants being more mental health affected. It's very much for children and young people, because they show up a high degree of bad psychological health and mental health. So that is very important for us to have that in place. I was also wondering about the recruitment issues, and I can also... I'm struck by the fact that you have such low wages for the personnel here, and also that you have, in comparison to Sweden, you have very few nurses as well. And we are also struggling with recruitment. But one thing we heard was that it was difficult for healthcare personnel that had chosen to work abroad and wanted to return to Portugal when it came to tax issues. We didn't understand that. Is that so? That's a question for you, that it was some trouble with returning if they wanted to return. Also, I'm wondering about the education system for nurses and healthcare personnel in different areas. Are they? Is it possible for them to have a career, for example, master degree and doctor degree and research and so on in their own area? Is that possible here in Portugal? Thanks.
Okay, so in order to answer to some questions that were raised, I suppose I will ask, in Portuguese, please. Alguém quer introduzir algum comentário? Alguns dos que não fizeram qualquer tipo de intervenção? No? Okay. So, well... some questions were raised, and I fully understand that you are a delegation from the Swedish party, so you have different perspectives and different views from how the government and your society is evolving. Of course, we have left and right-wing parties, but some issues are, I would say, common, of course. You have mentioned mental health, of course, is an issue. Is an issue today, of course, because I think after the pandemic, the mental health issues becoming really important for many different reasons. But of course, 2 years closed at home with masks and so on was something really critical for many Portuguese citizens. Now the government, but the past government also, is launching mental health programs in universities. Is important to our youngster generation. And mental health, of course, in the last national budget, we had a specific line in order to develop mental health services. But yes, I suppose we can agree, or you agree with me, after the pandemic, that issue became an important, really important. Secondly, you have asked about taxes to those who really want to return to Portugal. We have a specific program. They have tax breaks. I suppose, if I'm not correct, you can correct me, but during 5 years, they have tax breaks.
They pay half.
They pay in half. If they pay 20, they will pay 10. If they need to pay 40, they will pay 20. So it's important also to some football players that return to Portugal. But our major focus is not football players, but, well, nurses, doctors, but not only, engineering and so on. So, yes, because as you know, we had a bailout during 4 years, or 3 years, I would say, 3 years. And in that period, we had a lot of people that leave the country, and we still have important figures. We have a lot of Portuguese that are immigrating every year. But of course, we also have Portuguese people returning. And last year was the best year. Yes. More than 50,000 Portuguese returned to Portugal, even if 75,000 immigrated. So
the balance
still is negative. Nevertheless, of course, immigration has increased in the last years. We have more immigrants in Portugal, a lot from Brazil, of course, Portuguese-speaking countries, but of course Brazil, they are almost 200 million, so 20 times Portugal. So, of course, we have a lot of Brazilians. But it's not the first time that we are facing this movement. When the Portuguese economy is growing and creating jobs, we have more immigrants. When the Portuguese economy is not doing well, they leave. I remember in 98 we had the World Exhibition in Portugal, the Expo 98. In those times we had a lot of people from other countries moving and immigrating to Portugal. But later on, with the crisis and so on, many of them have left the country. So, yes, nowadays we have 5 million people working in Portugal with jobs, 1 million more than in 2015. So it's a huge difference. It's quite important for our social security because we have a surplus in our social security system. But of course, you are facing other problems, as you have heard from and have listened from different MPs, Portuguese MPs. We are becoming older. This is good. That is good. Becoming older, it's good. I really want to see my grandchildren. So, nevertheless, it's a challenge in many different fields. It's a challenge for our healthcare system because we are facing more demand, much more demand. It's not more demand, we are much more demand, of course. We are facing also the professionals of our healthcare system. They are becoming older also, and this is somehow a challenge for a national healthcare system because we need to have the youngster generation arriving to the system to be professional doctors, nurses, and so on. And of course, within the European Union, if you are a Portuguese doctor or if you are a Portuguese nurse, you can work in, you can have a job in Sweden. So if our wages are lower, of course, we are going, we are facing some, I would say, competitive challenges when it comes related with wages and salaries. So we are facing those problems. We have also, of course, we are becoming older, as I said, and the services to our elderly people are really a challenge because we don't have a national elderly services system. It's major. The services are private. Some of them are quite good. Some of them are not good, are lousy, I would say. And yes, nowadays we are more in Portugal, living in Portugal, we are more, even if we have more Portuguese people immigrating than returning. Nevertheless, the immigrants are doing the compensation, so we are more, we are 10 million and a half, something like that. We're doing many things okay, quite good, top level, but of course we have challenges in many, many different fields. We have good professionals, they are quite good, nurses and doctors and other professionals. Nevertheless, they are not enough, and we still have efficiency issues to solve. Please take the floor. Mm-hmm. No?
I was thinking loudly, and they work a lot, of course.
During the pandemic, they were incredible. I don't know if some of my colleagues want to add some, want to raise some questions or some comments. If not, the ambassador, you want to take the floor?
Thank you very much. And I also would like to express the gratitude from the Embassy of Sweden for hosting the delegation from from the Swedish Parliament, the Swedish Riksdag. And as you mentioned, and that I've also raised in all the meetings that we have, you parliamentarians, you are representing the people. And without you, we don't have a democracy. So you all should be so proud of the work that you're doing, and also the importance of the work that you're doing, representing the will of the people. And it's been a true honor for the Embassy of Sweden to host the delegation from the Swedish Riksdag during these past 3 days. And it has given us, and also me and my colleagues at the Embassy, a good overview of the health-related challenges in the Portuguese society, and also all issues that are being presented to overcome those issues. And as you said, it's a human right, a right to health, and a tremendous need for all the population. And I wish you all the best in your important work. You have a very challenging negotiations ahead of you. And we are, of course, at the Embassy closely following that. And I wish you all the best of luck. So thank you.
Thank you. And finally, yes, we're going. You are going to do it.
Okay.
Please. We are going to.
So
probably over there. Yeah. With the flags.